I think the initial report's really looking good. Let's hope others think so. Recording started.
The momentum the recordings have now started. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
You got to do the roll call to save your voice, Avery?
Please do, thank you. You do it all the time anyway, but thank you.
We've got on the call Joe Sansevier, Avery Doria, James Bladel, Paul Diaz, Martin Hall, Jose Nazaro, Adam Palmer, Mike Rodenbach, and for staff, we have Marika Koenigs and myself, Glenn. And we have apologies from Rad Rasmussen, who is not able to join us because he's traveling today.
Okay, great, thanks. And I'll try to keep my talking to a minimum if I can, so that I don't annoy people too much with my voice. We've got a draft of the report, which I think is looking quite nice. But we do have some new text in there that we need to go over. And we also have two emails with issues, one from Joe and one from Martin, that we need to cover. And then there were some other, things throughout the document that we need to touch on. Marika, is there anything else that you know of that needs to be singled out at the moment? And, of course, I want to catch from people what else they may or may not have that needs to be touched on.
There's some changes that are incorporated in the executive summary that were circulated to the list for a call while by Greg. There was no comment on them, but I've highlighted them here in track changes just in case people wanted to review them in more detail.
And then, as I said, we have the comments from Joe and the comments from Martin.
Yes, and then we have as well edits in Chapter 6 that were done by a small group, I think, with Mike, James, and Greg, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I had been. Okay. Well, if there's no issue then why don't we walk through to the change places and then go through the two emails if we haven't hit those issues along the way. Does that seem a reasonable approach?
Yep.
Okay, if so, I'll go looking for the changes. The first one I have is at 8384, and if I happen to miss any while I'm going through, please shout. And if there happens to be anything in a section before that that you really wanted to flag, other than what's in the emails, please flag it. So at 8384, we have the group was also tasked to obtain expert opinion as appropriate on which areas of FastFlex are in scope and out of scope for GNSO policymaking. I don't assume there's any issue with that being in there. Is there? Okay. Then I'll move on. And then Marika, if you happen to know where the next one is before I get to it, let me know. The next one I have is the deletion 129-131, where there was a supported statement, Lewis records are fraudulently created, i.e. using stolen identities for payment methods. That was removed, and we have just a poor quality who is. Any issue with dropping that support? Could someone remind me why we're dropping that support?
Mr. Marika, I think the reason was because this is a summary. There was no need to include the further details in there, especially because there's only a support statement.
Does anybody have an issue with that? Okay, fine. Move on.
Greg Aaron joined.
Hi, Greg.
Hello.
Welcome to your second call in 2 hours. The next one was at 142. Basically, we're going through the changes at the moment. 142, when used by criminals, the main goal of FastFlex, I don't know why I'm reading things out loud, it's probably not a good idea. Main goal of FastFlex hosting is to prolong the period of time during which the attack continues to be effective. It's not an attack itself. It is a way for an attacker to avoid detection and frustrate the response of the attack. And move on. Marika, can I ask you to read them when we get to the point? Because if I keep reading, it will be ridiculous.
Okay.
I'm sorry, but
One question before we go on. I'm seeing line numbers that differ from the line numbers you're mentioning. Like, I'm at 137 for the one you just mentioned.
Am
there a different version, perhaps?
Out of people? I'm looking at the doc in open office, and so that may have done things funny. If
okay.
I could look perhaps at the PDF, that might make a difference.
That's okay. I was just wondering if there was a different version.
Am I the only other one seeing? Am I seeing different numbers from everybody?
Yes, at least from me as well.
Okay, let me get the PDF if that's numbered. And I have to download it. I don't have that. I only downloaded the... That's a doc file. But yes, I forgot it.
Are you ready? You want me to go to the next one?
Yeah, if we can, and I'll catch up.
Okay. The next one is in line 274, where it's... I think this is just a correction because it was badly written before. Basically, it now reads, one source of best practices for protection from fast flux can be found in the fishing world. The anti-fishing working group has recently released, and so on. This was merely a correction. Does anyone have any issues with that? That's a no. The next one I have is on line 284. And it reads, obtain expert opinion appropriate on which areas of fast flux are in scope and out of scope for GNSO policymaking. Some members of the working group provided reasons as to why policy development to address fast flux is outside the scope of ICANN's remit, while others disagreed. The working group's fact-finding and work on definitions documented how fast flux involved domain name use issues rather than domain name registration issues.
Yeah, I was caught up by the night, but thank you for reading better than I. Is that okay with everyone? You won't object to that? Okay, great.
I'm still trying to download this version of the report, just so you know.
Oh, yeah, I just downloaded the PDF went fairly quickly for me, so...
Yeah, I have to apologize, especially the Word version is very big, mainly because of the graphs that have been added now in the data annex.
Okay, I have one question on something that I just remember to ask by. Has the Nota Bene had IGNB at 419? And I understand why that's there, but please note the following content is based on, in some case, taken verbatim from the description and does not reflect the opinion of the working group on the issue. Now, that makes it a very strong statement, which I'm not sure the working group intends, which is to basically say you don't support what's in it, as opposed to saying, and does not necessarily reflect, or should not be taken to reflect an opinion one way or another. But by saying it this way, and I don't know if that was the intent, it can be read as you guys don't agree with it at all.
I think perhaps may not as opposed to does not would be...
May not would be fine, too, yeah. Does anyone object to changing that one to may not? And I think there's one other similar case later on, I noticed when I was reading.
Well, I'm sorry, what line number are we at now?
I'm at 419, 421, how to assess flux. It's a nota bene. At the beginning there, in italics. And I'm just worried about someone taking the strong sense of does not reflect the opinion.
Yeah. I agree. May not. Good.
Oh, okay. There's another one above it. That's right. At 406. That was the first one. Again. It's from an issues report and may not. And I'll just leave that loose. And still looking for the next change. In Chapter 4 now. I don't know if I missed any in Chapter 4. I have one question on the members of the working group. Why do some of us have our ICANN wiki linked and others do that because the others don't have an ICANN wiki link, don't want it? I was just curious about that and why that was a linking to that as opposed to perhaps the SOI statement for everyone.
What? The statement of interest?
Right. In other words, if we're linking to something, why are we linking to ICANN Wiki? If we're linking to something, perhaps should we link to the statement of interest, and that just makes it actually more useful, but that's the question.
I agree with you, Aubrey.
I think the reason why it's probably in there, it was like this, I think, on the wiki page, and I think I've probably copied and pasted it from there, and that's why those links are there.
Okay, what would people think? That either removing the ICANN wiki link and putting in the links to the SOIs, which should be one for everyone, and then that part is also done. Does that make sense to people? Does anybody object to that, including you, Marika? You're the one that would have to do it.
No, that's fine. I presume that they're easy to find, Glenn.
Yeah, Glenn.
Sorry. Just say that again. What is easy to find?
At page 540, we have a members of the working group.
Yes.
They have the name linked to their SOI.
They are already.
In that table, in the document?
Some of them are. We haven't done it for all.
Oh, okay.
There's a link that can be put in.
Okay, so if that could be done, I think that would be useful.
Okay, yeah, there's a link that can be put in.
Okay.
It's on the website.
Okay, thank
you. So we probably can have a link on the top, because I guess it groups all the statements of interest together. Is that correct, Glenn?
That's right. I'll send it to you right now, Marika.
Okay, perfect. So that will make my life easier as well, so we just have one link.
And then remove the other link.
Yeah. Okay, we'll do so.
Thank you. Continuing to go through.
The next one I have is on page 45, the footnote there.
Ah, oh, yes, I could also... Okay, so there was nothing in...
I didn't see anything before, but
right,
maybe I missed something.
I'm up to page 26. There's nothing in 5, okay? I might as well just continue looking in case, but... I say this is really very close to complete, actually.
Would you like me to read it?
Oh, yeah, I just got to. Please. I think it's a good idea to read it.
So there's basically a footnote that follows from the various TLDs are differently situated and have different needs and approaches in this area, which is then followed by the footnote, which has been changed here. Related to policies, a purpose of the recent GNSO issues report on registration abuse policies was to identify and describe various provisions in a representative sampling of GTLD registration agreements which relate to contracting parties and or registrants' rights and obligations with respect to abuse. The report found that among the GTLDs, research found that 11 out of 16 GTLDs have provisions in place that address 7 of 11 or potentially could address 4 of 11 abuse. Many CCTLDs also have policies against criminal and or abusive uses of domain names, with .de and .uk being but two examples. Related to needs, various studies have demonstrated that the amount and types of abuses vary greatly from TLD to TLD, and that some TLDs do not suffer certain types of abusive domain name uses at all. For example, see the data annex to this FF Working Group report by Arbor Networks and KarmaSphere, the Anti-Phishing Working Group's Global Phishing Survey Domain Use and Trends in 1H2008 report, and Eurovel.com TLD statistics.
Okay, and that's basically that paragraph that we had in there that where there was objection to A, it being so specific, and B, it being in the middle of the text. And I think it's a good footnote. But is anyone uncomfortable with it as it currently stands? So there are no objections to leaving that footnote as it is. Fantastic, thank you. Next. And thank you for reading.
Okay. No problem.
Okay, the next one I have is 1461. And a change from deleted, the working group quickly concluded that, to however some members of the working group expressed that. Any objection to the change? Lower, there was just a smaller correction. FF serves, not FF servers. In 85, I'm looking at the correct stuff right now. There was a whole bunch of changes.
Especially deletions.
Yeah.
Did it come up in your version?
It come up on the PDF.
Okay, good. Would you like me to read them?
Yes, and this is the work that was done by Mike and others, correct?
Correct.
Right.
The line 1485, the following has been deleted. However, the members do not agree as to whether ICANN is the best organization to conduct this activity. This point is expanded on in the next section of the report.
Any objection? Okay.
Then in line 1489, the following is deleted. The question was asked whether a PDP was started prematurely. The March 2008 issues report had already recommended that further fact-finding and research would be helpful in order to inform the community's deliberations.
Now, I'm wondering, actually, at this point, whether necessarily reading all the deletions in this next section. Anybody object to that deletion? Okay, then I'm wondering whether a reading of all the deletions and additions in this one will be helpful, or whether it's worth just reading through the new text and seeing if people are comfortable with that, since that was a, you know, sort of a single piece of work of rewriting the text by deleting major chunks and reorienting, restructuring. So I suggest just reading that section. In other words, the new C. And I can do it, or Marika, if you would just read through, or perhaps Mike, who's contributed it, could read through and just make sure that it sounds right to people. Anybody?
I'm happy to read it.
Okay, thanks.
So this is on 1419, issues with the Charter. Neither the GNSO Council nor the Charter identified what the objective of a potential recommendation on fast flux should be. Also, the Council sought a structured fact-finding effort to examine the issues of fast flux beyond the staff-authored issues report, but because no such mechanism currently exists, this effort was conducted in the context of a PDP. As a result, some felt that the Charter did not provide sufficient information on what was expected to be delivered by the working group, nor were important questions included. The group struggled with finding the right balance between respecting the Charter, the lack of information, and the need to find a solution and consensus. In its upcoming revision of the PDP, the GNSO should include an orientation of working group members as an early step for every group to familiarize participants with the PDP process. Some members of the working group offered reasons why policy development to address fast flux is outside the scope of ICANN's remit. Others disagreed. As some participants pointed out, some of the discussions and proposed actions might be more appropriate for other professional or community bodies that deal with security and internet abuse issues.
I think it's nice, clean, fairly neutral writing. Does anybody object to that rewrite? Okay, thanks. Great job on doing that. I think that gets it said, and it is, I believe, fairly neutral. Neutral. Okay, thank you. Okay, moving on.
I think the next thing is the data annex.
Yep. Before we move on to the data annex, and issues with that, I'd like to, if it's okay, go back and deal with the issues, Joe's issues. But, yeah, because they're in the section of the document, and once we get through with these, we're, I think, done with the main body of the document. So, Joe, would you like to walk us through your issues?
Sure. So essentially, if you go ahead and look at the copy of the message I sent out, you know, one of the issues was just essentially a typo. I think there was an "and" that should have been an "an" on line 49. And likewise, there was another typo on 103 that should probably read "without notice to or consent of." And I think you indicated, Marika, you were okay with those two?
Yeah, no problem.
And then the one I think that's probably more substantive, although again it's just a matter of wording more than anything else, was around line 109 that talks about rapid modification of IP addresses for malicious content hosts. And if I were reading that, it would sound almost as if the IP addresses of the individual hosts are being changed. And that's not really what's happening. What's really happening is the fast fluxing network is selecting different hosts. The IP addresses of the hosts themselves are static, but the set of hosts that are selected to be part of the fast flux network goes ahead and changes. And yeah, I think that's just sort of, a matter of wording rather than a substantive change. But, you know, I understand you were less comfortable making that change, Marika. Is that true?
Yeah. Well, my concern was that the parts in the executive summary are taken from throughout the rest of the document. So I just want to make sure, like, if we make the change here, it should also be addressed in the other parts where it appears. Or we need to go back to the other parts to see if there's additional information in there that, you know, is okay or explains it in further detail, and it only needs to be changed in the executive summary.
So what Joe is pointing out...
Five other places?
I did, actually. So line 109 is in the summary, and line 568 in the PDF dated 12 January is where the other part of that is quoted from.
I see. So it would need to be changed. Does everyone agree with the change? With a change.
What would the change be to?
Yeah, that's why I corrected myself.
I agree with Joe that it is confusing and misleading as written.
With replacing the word modification with switching? Or is there a better word?
I don't think it's just that single word.
I think just the sense of the sentence needs to be changed. I mean, I'm not passionate enough about it to go ahead and try and, you know, wordsmith it in any great detail. I trust Marika or whoever to go ahead and do
that. Well, we should probably resolve it now because I don't see us needing to come back again. If we can avoid coming back yet again on this document so that we can call it done at the end of this meeting, I'd be really happy. Even if we have to take one more look at it, I'd really like to finish things if we can come up with the change. So,
I agree with that. What line number is it exactly again?
We're at 109 and 568.
Joe, should we use maybe the word rotation?
Rotation would work fine. I think the one consideration there is that it might go ahead and never rotate back, if you get my drift. I think rotation, I think maybe half a dozen hosts and it's cycling among them, but it might just continually go through a series of different ones.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Yeah, okay. Or change or switching or something like that.
Sure, something along that line.
Maybe because switching of IP addresses is done in several contexts. This one happens to be, you know, an illegitimate context, but talking about switching IP addresses is not an abnormal concept.
No, and I mean, some hosts actually will go ahead and do that kind of behavior in other situations.
And there's a whole technology on label switching, which is switching IP addresses, so it's a common parlance.
Joe, if we included server target in front of IP addresses, would that help... point the be more descriptive that the underlying servers were being changed as opposed to the IP address of a single server.
Sure, I'm open. Like I say, to pretty much any wording that will kind of get to that end. So
would you like that modification of server target IP addresses? Would that be an acceptable change to people? Any objections to changing those two instances? The modification of server target IP address.
I still just kind of wonder whether that's really going to capture the idea
that
you're really selecting different hosts.
If you're happy, how about if we combine them all? Just switching among server target IP address. Does that then get it said? Then it's kind of obvious, I think. Does that work for people? Switching among multiple target IP addresses.
I'm fine with whatever the group wants to do.
Is that an acceptable change? Does anybody disapprove of that change?
Could you repeat that sentence in full one more time, please?
Okay.
I just want to hear it, think about it.
Switching among multiple target IP addresses for malicious content hosts, name servers, and other network components via DNS entries with low TTLs.
I guess the key thing for me is just the emphasis on the fact that it's different machines rather than different IP addresses. The IP addresses are going to be different because they're different machines, but the machines aren't going to go ahead and be reconfiguring to new IP addresses.
Yeah,
I apologize for not catching this earlier. I should have gone ahead and caught it on the original main body of the text.
But it's the latest wording. I tried not to convey that to you. Well, can you still imagine that we're still talking about a single box?
Not necessarily a single box, but I could see somebody thinking, oh, the thing goes ahead and changes between machines, and the machines may even have their IP addresses change. Maybe it, like, re-DHCPs or something like that. I don't know. But essentially the idea is the thing goes ahead and selects, you know, candidates from this pool of botted hosts, and it goes ahead and takes those candidate machines. Incorporates them into its network.
Okay, so in other words, you're saying it really does need a restructuring because it's modification of the DNS entry. That's what you're really talking about.
Well, the DNS entry is more a means to an end. I mean, the DNS entry points at the botted host that it has chosen to use at that time.
Yeah, but it's the DNS entry change.
Right. How about, keep trying, I mean, I usually hate wordsmithing online, but I think in this case it's worth the exercise. There was modification of DNS entries with low TTLs among multiple IP addresses for malicious content hosts, name servers, and other network components.
It comes closer, I think.
Yeah, it is an A record modification.
It's at that point you know that you're changing the DNS entry.
Right. They actually select IP addresses of infected hosts as candidate A, as IP addresses for the A records.
Yeah, no, I understand what's being said.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I like the switching.
Right, any time we put IP addresses in the lead in the sentence, we leave open the option that it's not multiple hosts, but it's one host with multiple addresses.
Yes.
And that's really the problem of the way it's structured.
Mm-hmm.
What if we were to say selection of botted hosts for use as malicious content hosting, name servers, other network components, blah, blah, blah?
Try the beginning of that again.
Selection of botted hosts for use as malicious content hosting servers, name servers, and other network components via blah, blah, blah.
Slotted hosts? I missed the word you said before, host. I'm sorry.
Botted, yeah.
Botted. Yes.
B-O-T-T-E-D. Sorry about the background noise on my line.
That works for people. Is there any objection to using that in both instances? Marika, have you captured it? And could you?
No, not completely. Joe, would you mind sending it maybe to me in an email? The exact language, to make sure I get it right.
I'll send it up to the list if you like.
Thanks.
Okay, and we'll come back to it at the end of the meeting if we've all received it. Just to make sure. Okay, then let's go to the next. You're on Joe's list. Of course, Joe's busy doing two things at the same time.
Let me just stay with this one for another few seconds.
Okay.
Or so. So the next one essentially was just at line 145, talking about how that section appears to be sort of redundant with respect to lines 185 to 193. And I think 185 to 193 probably do a better job than 145 and Spaulding does.
Do you think it does harm being redundant?
But again, this is just a summary of what is in the report and basic addressing, because there are different, these are the highlighted ones or the bolded ones are the charter questions. So if we would leave that out, it means we haven't, the executive summary wouldn't reflect that we've answered that question.
Okay, so it's not really redundant, it's executive summary.
I guess my suggestion then would be making it parallel both in the body of the text and in the summary so that it kind of follows with the same set of you know, items in 185, 193, and at 145. Because it really does kind of rehash the same ground. It just doesn't do so completely in the 145 case.
So you're saying it's not that it's redundant bothers you, but that it's different.
Correct.
What do other people think? It's certainly not that long a section to not include it. What do you think, Marika? Do you have any objection to just bringing 185 through 193 and repeating it where you have 145 through whatever?
I'm happy that to take another sentence from the section, the report on the, you know, who benefits from fast flux to describe these organizations or the content distribution to add a sentence there. Is that what you would like to do? Do I understand correctly?
I think if I understood what basically was being looked for is to actually repeat the content of 185-193 in the executive summary.
185-193 is part of the executive summary. It's just a different section of it.
Right,
the problem just is it kind of, you know, it has a little bit more than the other one does. I'm not passionate on this one. Again, if folks just want to leave it the way it is, I mean, I'm willing to go along just to make progress.
Actually, why is it repeated? It's for charter questions. Who benefits from fast flux? And then it's who benefits from the use of fast flux technique.
We're just looking back myself as well to see.
I think maybe the first one could be dropped.
Well, actually, the first one comes, the question should be there, who benefits from fast flux and who is harmed. So those two questions are part of that, so maybe I should just change the headings basically to reflect that it's, that's that one. Maybe it makes it easier if I number the questions so people see what the questions are, and these are actually subheadings within that question. So maybe that's why it's confusing and seems a duplication while it's actually answers to different
That's right. That's a higher
question.
Level question that subsumes the other question.
So maybe that would make it easier if I basically number the questions, and then it becomes easier as well to see what are actually subheadings within those questions. Would that make sense?
To me, how do other people react, or do you need to see it?
I think that would help.
Yes, that'll need to be done. So that's something that means we won't finish today at this meeting. But what we'll have to do is get another report out and then just have a couple day last call on the final version of the document just to make sure it's okay. Definitely don't want to have to wait until we can schedule another meeting to call it done. Okay, moving on. 156. Working group did not reach consensus concerning the separately identical culpability of fast flux hosting with respect to the harm caused by malicious behavior. As recognize the way in which fast flux techniques are used along an attack. And you said you didn't understand the sentence. Is that the issue?
I feel like line number's encrypted somehow, and I worry I'm looking at the wrong piece here. I may need to take a second to make sure I'm on the right line.
Could you repeat the line number once again, Aubrey?
It was in his note with 156, 158.
Thank you.
That basically sounds to me like it's just saying, you know, there was disagreement on whether we wanted to blame fast flux per se for the harm caused by malicious behavior, but there was recognition that the techniques did contribute and were used for bad behavior.
I think this might be a line number drift moment. So, for example, if you look at 159 to 161.
In 159, I have a blank. 160 is the beginning of a section.
Okay, because the one I'm looking at is the working group did not reach consensus concerning the separately identifiable culture.
That's the one I just read.
Okay, sorry about that.
And that's what they said. It's basically, I mean, separately identifiable culpability is basically who's to blame. And is it Fastbox hosting itself as a separate blame as opposed to fast flux as being used by malicious behavior type. And basically from what I understand, that is indeed, you know, you guys didn't say fast flux is bad. It's fast flux in some cases is used for bad, but maybe, you know, and then it was a more complicated issue. But you didn't come to a strict separate culpability determination. And then that seems to be, unless someone reads it differently, what that sentence is saying is that there's no consensus in this working group that fast flux is bad. Separately identifiable culpability, it is bad in and of itself. And that is not a consensus that was reached. But likewise, I don't think that the group at all wanted to reach the consensus that, you know, fast flux is in itself totally not culpable. And so the culpability argument was a non-consensus argument as a separate culpability for just fast flux in and of itself. And that's what that seems to be saying to me. And the person that didn't write it. Does that make sense to people? And does it seem accurate to people? Is anyone uncomfortable with that still? Joe, are you okay with it?
I can live with it.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Next one, line 187. The content distribution network uses fast flux nodes hosted on systems used without the consent of their owners? I think not. Likewise, they don't believe free speech yet because use systems without the consent of their owners.
And this essentially comes back to the point that we had clarified the fact that the sort of malicious fast flux hosting we were talking about, an integral component of that is the fact that it's done on hosts without the consent of the owner or operator of the host. So if we assume that indeed is the case, then we have issues talking about it in these contexts because they don't steal the service from folks.
But the section goes again back to another part of the report where we talk as well about who benefits from the use as well, not in a malicious way, and that's why we've described as well content distribution networks. So if we would make changes here, we probably need to look at the...
Yeah, and this section does not imply that the people that get benefits from it are good or bad, nor that they're using it successfully or not successfully. Is that correct? I mean, that's how I read it. That some of the benefits, who are some of the people that benefit? Well, there's these good guys, the organizations with highly targetable networks, the content distribution networks, and those that provide channels for free speech, etc. Then there's the bad guys, the criminals, terrorists, and generally any organization that uses it for attack. And it's not differentiating in this section. It's just these are the people that benefit, some good ones, some bad ones.
I think that's how it was intended as well in the other part of the report. Right?
Oh, yes, so there's no implication here that they're stealing resources to do it.
Okay.
Let's say I'm doing a fairly, you know, a reading. Okay, then there's line 209. Bodily needs legal review or supporting evidence. Let's go to 209.
Line 209?
209.
Again, we have line drift, I think, but this is the problem of...
While no registrar has been prosecuted?
There we go. 207 for me. Okay.
207 through 209, is that what you're referring to?
It's the est references.
Yeah, okay. So while no registrar has been prosecuted for facilitating criminal activities related to past black domains, there's at least one recent case where some would argue there is the appearance of complicity, namely ST domains. And I guess that is a good point in making an accusation. And it's probably worth, I'm assuming that the group is comfortable with saying that if the ICANN lawyers are comfortable with it being said. Is that a correct statement?
Correct.
So, Marika, that just seems worth checking. But I have a feeling these things get checked by legal, if I remember correctly. Initial and final reports do get vetted.
Yeah, the final reports for sure, but I can definitely check the section. I'm just actually trying to look back at the original section to see if we provide any... Because I remember correctly, I think we do provide some links to information on the S case.
Nonetheless, that would still be a judgment for legal counsel to say that those references were sufficient and not make them, you know, liable if somebody wanted to sue because of it.
I'll check that.
Yeah, so
I think the point is the S domain folks were deaccredited for reasons that were not necessarily related to fast blocks. At least as I read the public documents.
That is correct. They were deaccredited because their CEO was convicted as a felony.
Oh, no, they didn't
which
have
is
to
a violation.
Go all the way down the group. They, you know, as in all things legal, they found an easier explanation.
But we don't say here that that was the reason. We're just implying that there's a case where some might argue that there has been complicity between the registrar and FastFlux hosting, or that's how I read it at least.
Right, but one could therefore say that that's an accusation and could conceivably hold ICANN liable for making an accusation. And
not ICANN, the working group, I'm sure.
The working group is part of ICANN, you know.
I will run this by
the lawyer. I think almost any time somebody raises Lex Texas with legal counsel flag, it's very risky not to do so.
I will run this by legal counsel and see, you know, if it's not acceptable, what alternative wording we could use or what need to be done to make it acceptable for legal counsel, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I was going to say, if you just drop those two last words, I think it probably the rest of it would be fine. It's just the specific accusation.
Right. Now, I have a question. I mean, and this is, do we need the named reference? Does it add anything other than liability?
Again, then we would need to go back as well to the relevant section on page 34 where we do talk about S domains and as well the Mikolo takedown. But I'm just going to quickly read if we say anything similar there or whether this is just a statement of what happened.
You'd remove more than two words. You'd have to go and do all kinds of stuff.
Well, because here as well, there's another sentence, like, following that first one, there's an executive summary. It has as well, activities surrounding their involvement with a disproportionately large number of fraudulent domain names, including FastFlux domain, has been widely reported in the press, along with the conviction of their president for money laundering and credit card fraud. So we do have a reference there, at least, to an article that, and we need to look if it indeed that claims the same.
But there's also a difference between the weight of it being in the executive summary and listed the way it is now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you don't lose anything in the executive summary if you take it out.
Okay.
And leave it in the other place. I would still confirm with counsel, but I think that might be a safer route. Because in this place, you're then going with all your evidence. So I would recommend, if no one objects, dropping the first reference, but leaving the rest of it alone. Anyone have a problem with that? But I would also confirm with legal counsel, just to make sure that even the 961 through 72 doesn't need any rewording. Is that okay? Anyone object? Okay, did people receive the rewording that Joe sent out yet? Has that been pieced through the list? I don't think I've got most.
I shipped it, but our mail is probably slow today, so...
Well, we had some issues before on receiving emails that were sent to a mailing list, so it might take a bit of time.
Okay. In which case, I'll keep going on. I just wanted to check. Okay, then we had Martin's email. Okay, I got Joe's. Let me stop and get Joe's. Because I'd like to deal with this now, if we could. Wording for line 109. Oh, I got it, but it's still loading. Oh, what's going on? I'll come back. Every time I say that, then something happens. Okay, I got it. Rapid and repeated selection of systems from a pool of botted hosts. With those systems being used for the purpose of hosting malicious content for users' name servers and for other purposes, all via DNS entries with low TTLs. Those seem very... Can't make the mistake reading it now. Anyone object to that wording that Joe sent around? No? But, you either have it already, Marika, or it's there.
I have it.
You have it. Okay, good. Okay, then the next set of issues we had were from Martin, which also goes into the... one thing we discussed in the last call was reviewing the document for any refinements in light of the new metrics. After reviewing the document again, the only place that seems to make sense is the approach taken by working group. And I suggest that we include an additional paragraph in there and then give basically the line. The group decided it would be useful to reference information from organizations to assess bugs to main analysis work. The material is attached to this report as an annex. A good line, at what line would you recommend putting this in?
Give me one second. It was after the second or third paragraph. Hang on a minute. Sorry, I gotta get to the right page.
It's page 19.
Yeah.
That helps.
Make it the second paragraph, I think, would be my recommendation.
Okay, you would put it after 515, a basically one-line paragraph. For the third. I would almost recommend a third.
I'm fine with that too, Abby.
Because but it really doesn't matter. Does anyone care one way or another? I think if anyone objects to the sentence going in. No objection to the sentence going in. Let me see. Marika, where do you think it makes most sense?
Sorry?
Where do you think it makes most sense after the first paragraph or after the second?
I would say after the first paragraph.
Okay, then.
This talks more about the process, while the second paragraph already talks about the number of emails and things like that. But
okay.
I think either one to do with
that. Okay, we'll put it in and see how it looks and if it feels right. Okay, so in terms of the before talking about Stanley, in terms of the first part of the argument, I mean the discussion, we've got two things pending. We've got adding numbers to the charter question in the summary to make it clearer, the headings touch to make it clearer what's being done there. And we've got checking with legal on the issue of that one specific reference. Other than that, are there any other issues pending in the main part of the document? Other than those two, which we'll get a quick view of and can do like a 48-hour last call on over the email list, we're fine with going forward. Any objection to that? Great. Okay, moving to annex. Let's go to whether changes that we need to annex. So we are annex one, first round. But which annex specifically do we want to look at now? The metrics one? Or any of them other specific? There are the constituent statements, which haven't changed in forever.
Nothing has changed there. The only change has been made to the annex is the adding of the data annex that Martin provided.
Yeah.
And one note maybe to make as well on the supporting or additional statements. There's currently one, the individual statements. There's one from Mike O'Connor. Previously, we had received two other statements, one from Eric Bruno-Williams and one from Christian Curtis. I've written to both of them with one of the latest drafts of the report, asking them whether they still wanted to attach their statements to the document, as a lot had changed between when they submitted their statements and the latest version. I only got a response from Eric Bruno-Williams that he was going to review the documents and get back to us, which is already, I think, more than a month ago, and I didn't hear anything from Chris and Curtis, so for now, I didn't include them.
I would actually include them.
But some of them are relating to certain issues that are no longer relevant or that have been addressed, so that's why I wanted to clarify with them.
I would include them with notes saying they were submitted early in the process before, you know, multiple changes were made to the document and have been left in for completeness sake. And
okay, I'll ping them one more time as well to make sure, you know, to give them a chance as well to respond themselves, and if not, I'll include them back in.
Right, I'm very insecure about basically almost devaluating the whole document because we excluded somebody's personal comments and we said we would include them. I think that was quite reasonable to attach a note above that says, you know, these personal statements were submitted early in the process and, you know, do not reflect comments based on the current document but on earlier versions of the document, and leave it at that. I mean, that's the same for Mike, too, in a sense, that all the statements that we have are statements from midterm in the process. And so a statement that just identifies them as that is, I think, would be fine. And then it's complete history. Does anybody object to following that particular pattern? And then, yes, certainly check with them again. And if they withdraw it, but if they don't, now, especially having asked if we can remove it, then remove it with them having said so, and just open us up to, you know, a spurious attack that's just not worth dealing with.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Okay, and I can help you with the wording of that caveat if you'd like, but I'm sure you can do it without my help.
Yeah, I think you already provided me basically
okay.
The wording just now, so that's fine.
Okay, thank you. Just say it better than my handwriting. any other issues? I mean, any issues on the metrics? On the metrics pages. We've talked about it before. I think it's quite strong. I just want to make sure that there are no last comments. Okay. Any other issues before we sort of call this waiting for last call?
Maybe one comment from me, or I'm happy as well to add to the final version of the post text for the public comment period that normally goes together with an announcement and like a little box that provides some information on what the working group is looking for.
You mean just the cover letter, as it were?
Sorry?
What do you mean?
Yeah, the announcement that goes the public, the launch of the public comment period. So I'm happy to draft a text for that so the group can review that and make sure.
That'd be great. You know. And then we can do that on the list as well. But what is a 48-hour last call good enough, or do we need a longer one? How are people in terms of that? Just basically to have a last look at things and say yay or nay. And then the way I've done them in the past, and let me just, this is okay, is I call the 48-hour, and then if there is anything that needs to be changed, we discuss it. And from each of the, and it's basically a rolling 48-hour. You know, there's a, well, I propose this solution. Now, okay, is this solution acceptable to everyone? And then we roll 48 hours.
And I guess the 48 hours starts after the posting of the final version.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right, no, not now, obviously.
Okay.
Give you time to do it. No, yeah, after it goes out, ask the question when you send it, you know. Please let me know within 48 hours if this is fine. If someone has an objection and it gets fixed, then the 48 hours rolls on until we've basically had 48 hours of nobody saying there's an issue. And hopefully we don't have to have another meeting on it at this point. But I'd really like to get it out as soon as we could. So that it's all there and ready to be talked about in Mexico City and ushering the council back into it and figure out where we go from here. So is that an okay procedure? Does anyone object? Mike, are you okay with that?
I'm good with it, thanks.
Okay. As I have to remember that you're the liaison to the council on this. I just want to... And we'll go for...
I have to just make sure that we get the report to the council as soon as we can, and ideally we can discuss it in our February 16 meeting.
Yeah, well, we could certainly discuss the process that the council's going to take. We obviously don't want to get into substance, probably, until after the COVID period. But anyhow, we can talk about that in council, certainly.
You're right. Yep.
Okay. Any other issues? Okay, then at the moment, we'll do that. And then I think this group will basically go into sort of a holding state until we find out from the council level where we continue. Does that sound reasonable also? I mean, certainly people can continue using this mailing list to this group of people to discuss issues. This is interesting, but we won't necessarily have any meetings or goals. And as I say, if we come back to the working group with more work, it's my full intention that there'll be a new and different chair at that point, because I think I should not play chair of council and chair of working group at the same time. So I'm glad I did this, and I'm glad I worked with you all on it.
It's been a real pleasure.
Okay.
Well, yes, thank you.
Thank you all, and...
Have a good weekend.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Marika?